Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And today with me is Arvi Abramian, your mortgage doctor. Hi, Arvi.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm just great, thanks. How was your week?
It was great.
Okay, excellent. We have a great show for you lined up. We have a couple of interviews, a special guest, hopefully, and Luke Mankey is going to join us a little later on in the program to talk about current market conditions, how his business is going, some personal anecdotes, which I always like to, you know, bring in guys that work for Malibu Funding to tell you what's going on out in the marketplace. And like that. The telephone number is 888-713-2929. Our website is
www.malibufunding.net.
Yes, exactly. We're also on Facebook, as everybody knows. Go to Facebook. Go to Home Loans, Malibu Funding. And the email is
info@malibufunding.net.
Okay, very good. Let's just get right into it right away. Big week this week in the mortgage industry. What we're talking about is the Federal Open Market Committee meeting. Now, most of the people out in the audience, pretty sophisticated up in our listening area, up in San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. Just to go through it initially, give us a little idea what the FOMC does and how it affects us in the marketplace.
Well, they're the one who chooses if the rate will go up or down or remain the same. They're the one who makes the decision.
So it's the Federal Open Market Committee meeting headed by
Janet Yellen.
That's correct. And she took over for Bernanke.
Bernanke.
And before Bernanke was Greenspan. Greenspan was come on, everybody. I have no idea either. Okay, so
who cares? Right now we care about Janet.
So, parsing words in the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, what does it mean to you? How is it going to be translated? Right now, as we are speaking, they are deciding. So when you hear this, you will have already seen what is actually taking place. And what we think is taking place is they're going to come out with a bias of what?
I mean, right now, like Wall Street Journal sent a notice, like, you know, that just like a text message that I received on my phone, and they said they're trying to keep the rates the same until 2015.
Okay, 2015. When is 2015? How many months?
It's almost there.
It's almost there, right. Yeah. So what we're saying is, okay, right now we've got rates. First of all, let's go through a little bit of the news of the day and then maybe get into what we're talking about in terms of the rates, what we're foreseeing in the future. Give us a couple headlines there, Arby.
These are all from Mortgage News Daily.
Okay.
The one that caught my attention that we're actually talking about it right now is the differences between past and current FOMC statements.
Okay, very good. And in terms of that particular headline, just briefly, the past statement had a couple of words in it. Now, these statements that come out have recently gained huge popularity in terms of not only the marketplace pricing as a result of what the language is, but your average citizen, like me, like you who are listening to me, who go to these statements, look at them, and try to parse out exactly what they're meaning and how that's going to affect the marketplace. So, for an example, they had in their last statement, which said basically the same thing, they're going to keep their rates the same until 2015, it said foreseeable future or something like that as how long they're going to keep the rates artificially low.
Well, they're keeping their options open.
Well, what they did was they took out that phrase this time. Yeah. So everybody reading the tea leaves said, oh, my gosh, they took out this statement. That means, you know, they're preparing for, obviously, a change in philosophy. Well, that's probably true. And I'm one who is much more, I guess I'm much more into plain language. I'd just like them to tell me, look, this is what we're planning.
But you know they're not going to do that.
No, they're not going to do that. And I've talked to many lawyers. I say to a lawyer friend of mine, hey, great day out there today. Well, you know, it did have some aspects of it which I personally liked, but if you're going to look at it, and all of a sudden I'm asleep, trying to figure out what the heck he's trying to say. Is it a good day or is it a bad day? Well, you're going to get equivocation.
Well, he's trying to get to let you say what you want to be, he wants you to say, and then once you say it, he's going to agree. If he doesn't agree, then he's going to go around the subject again until you say something else.
Oh, it drives me crazy. All right, a quick real estate story. All right, so I'm in a real estate transaction where I am negotiating price. price. And everybody knows negotiating price in a real estate deal is very stressful. It's stressful to the buyer, it's stressful to the seller, and it's certainly stressful to the two agents. So the two agents normally get together and say, hey, look, let's see if we can bring the parties together so nobody's happy. And usually that's a win-win for both sides because the seller doesn't get what they want and the buyer doesn't buy it as cheaply as they want. They try to represent both sides as strongly as possible, but at the end of the day, the seller wants to sell and the buyer wants to buy. So I'm in yesterday and we presented an offer and it was a fairly, you know, low offer, but at the same time, he hadn't sold the property. And in the market that we're talking about, 60 to 75 days on the market is a long time.
It's a long
time. Okay, and we talked about that last week, is how in certain markets in California, the days on market are increasing from, you know, a week to 90 days and above, yeah. Especially in Southern California where this particular property is. So I'm talking to the agent and he's acting all arrogant and, okay, this may mean more about me than him, but he was condescending, arrogant, and he just wanted to punch him, right? I mean, that's what you're thinking about on the phone. But at the same time, you want to get your buyer into the property, and obviously you realize that he can't get paid either unless we close the deal. So I'm talking to them. We're negotiating back and forth. Finally, I just had to come out and say, look, you represented your buyer that bought this property for $800,000 3 years ago. You now want to sell the property for $1 million 3 years later. Is it possible that you purchased the property too high and now you're hedged in because you can't go back to your seller and say, hey, property's not worth $800,000 anymore?
Yeah.
Isn't that really the issue here? Which leads everybody to, you know, the guy was like, he hung up on me. Of course he did. I insulted him. I said, hey, I know you were going for a commission and all you wanted to do was to basically, you know, get the guy into a property because you thought it was a great deal. Well, you know what? The market didn't respond. So the market is telling him, based on the offers he is receiving, that $850,000 is the number. They looked at the price he paid for it, slapped the commission and closing cost on top of it, and came up with $850,000. Three offers like that. I said, dude, that's what the market is. Don't come exactly. to me and say it's not the market. That's yeah. the market. Don't tell me, yeah. well, my guy's just going to wait. Anyway, that's
then what did you list it?
Well, for I represented the buyer.
I know. Why did he list it?
Why did he list it at $995,000?
As an agent, it's his duty. It's his obligation. It's his fiduciary duty to basically tell the
absolutely right.
like the seller, like, you know, educate them.
Well, that's it. And that was what I was trying to do with my offer. And I said to him, look, I'm trying to help you. I'm a third party, not a grinder. I'm just another offer that's come in the door, which tells you that the market is saying this property is only worth this. Mm-hmm. So by doing that, I am educating you to be able to say to your seller, look, I think it's worth what we're listing it for. Here's the comps that I think support that, but the marketplace is the ultimate arbiter, the ultimate decider
of
what the price of the unit should be.
Yeah.
Now, this is obviously, you know, a little side tangent to what we've been talking about, but when we're talking about the Federal Open Market Committee statement, and we're trying to read the tea leaves of what they're trying to say of what the price is, mm-hmm. what is the marketplace telling us? Well,
the marketplace, just like you mentioned, the houses, once it gets listed, it's from, instead of 3 days to 7 days being closed, it's taking 90 days or 45 days.
Right. Much more than that.
Much more, yeah.
So the marketplace in loans, there's a couple other headlines here. Go through one of the headlines that supports kind of what we're talking about in terms of...
The rates. I mean, like talked about rates. So, like, here's one. It says mortgage rates now back to 4.25%.
Okay, and this is off of what website is this?
This is off of the Mortgage News Daily headlines.
Okay, so this is saying mortgage rates went down recently and went down below almost to.
They were almost down to 3.625.
Exactly. So they've jumped back up, and they've jumped back up because of the language is. Changed in the Federal Open Market Statement meeting or the committee meeting.
You know when two runners are like on the line and they're ready to run?
Yeah.
And then basically the person who's like, you know, hits the starter. So like, you know, goes hits the gun and then the runners, they start running. So imagine the runners are the banks.
Right.
So the judge is saying, okay, I'm about to hit it so you guys can run, but it's not started yet. But the banks, they start the run.
Already. So what you're saying, obviously, this is a good analogy. The banks and the rates are already pricing in the Federal Open Market Committee's decision to end both the quantitative easing, which is the mortgage-backed securities purchase plan, and also the bond purchase plan. It's now at $10 billion a month, and they're going to end that in October. I think one of the headlines says that. So what happens is we're pricing in the increase is what we're going to get in rates from the Fed to the member banks. And already we're pricing in the retail banks to their customers. So in reality, they're still borrowing money based on 2 weeks ago where we had 3.625. Mm-hmm. But they're already pricing it at 4.25, jumping, like you said, already jumping the gun.
Exactly right. They're trying to make the money and keep the money.
And it always drives me crazy. Anyway, we got a great show lined up. Thanks, Harvey, very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. And I'm excited and happy to have you here listening to the show today. There's a lot going on in the marketplace. There's a lot going on in the real estate world. And there's a lot going on with tapering ending and a lot of different aspects to the lending industry that are changing. I'm very excited and happy to have back once again with us Luke Mankey. Luke is an MLO, mortgage loan officer for Malibu Funding. Luke, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. Now, Luke is a very productive and busy guy. He does loans all over, helps me in loans that I do out of state, specifically in Washington and Arizona and some of the other states, but also in Northern California as well as in Southern California. So, Luke, let's just get to the busy work right away. How's the business? What do you see that's happening in the marketplace that may have been different since the last time you were on the show?
You know, I would say it's every bit as hot of a purchase market as it was last month when we spoke. And I think that, there's not enough inventory to support the amount of buyers that are out there right now, although we are starting to enter into that fall buying season.
Yes.
Which is probably going to bring out a little bit less buyers.
Yes.
People are more busy with their kids in school and all that stuff. So there might be a few more deals to be had out there, or at least less competition to get in and buy that house that you might be looking for. So, overall, it's definitely a hot market still.
Well, what we've seen, it's funny you say that. We had on a couple of weeks ago Ivan Contreras from Orange County, California, and he was saying as a mortgage loan officer for Malibu Funding in his particular market, he was seeing the properties were sitting, that there was not a glut of inventory, but certainly the time from when a property hit the market to when it got sold was lengthening to closer to 4 months. And you're saying it's just the opposite. So tell our audience, because it's always interesting, the different markets are different. Different timing. Obviously, up in the Bay Area, San Francisco especially, the market is extremely hot and properties disappear, multiple offers very quickly. But if we're seeing a trend across the state, across the country, where's your base of business mostly?
I'm doing a lot of Los Angeles here in the Valley, even out to Ventura.
Okay.
Malibu, and I feel like, I've got a buddy that just is in escrow on a property up in Seattle right now as well.
Okay.
And those markets, and that just seems to be where I'm getting most of my referrals and most of my business right now, but those markets are every bit as hot. Now, I do have a friend that's an REO agent down in Orange County, and I've heard similar things that, things are taking a little bit longer. Now, I think you've got some of those properties that are sitting are properties that are sellers that probably been waiting for a while to regain that equity that they lost.
Right.
And now, some homes I think are not turnkey, and I think that they're a little bit overpriced, a little bit, ambitious sellers that are trying to get top dollar.
Yep.
And those are the ones that are sitting. I think the properties that are priced right, or where you've got investors that just want to, flip it and sell it quick, they're pricing it right, and those are selling quickly. But majority of the stuff I'm seeing and dealing with up here, they're selling pretty quickly.
Okay.
And that covers, again, Los Angeles area, Thousand Oaks, Malibu, Ventura. And then I've got a couple clients right now, one in escrow up in Seattle. And there was like 15 people competing on that property up there.
In that Seattle market, because obviously we broadcast possibly reaching up into the Seattle area, certainly into Portland. What area are you talking about in the Seattle market?
Basically near downtown, Alki Beach, all the west side there that's in the University District. That whole area up there is just, I've got a lot of friends and family up there, and every one of them is telling me it's just, you can't, with the growth of all the companies up there, Amazon, right. Nordstrom, Microsoft, it seems like you're getting more and more people that are transplanted up there and wanting to buy right away, and they've all got great jobs, it's all salary jobs, and so they can get in and you could be changing careers, and if you get a W-paying salary job, we can get you a loan the first month. I just need 2 paychecks with this new company, and you could be moved up there or anywhere in the country, really, that we're licensed, and we can get you a loan right away. So it's,
okay,
it just seems to be a hot spot right now in the West Coast from what I've seen.
Okay, that's very interesting. As you know, my son is up in college up in Redmond, which is kind of in that same area that you're talking about, and although he's... He is not in the market to buy a house, nor is, you know, he's still in school. But to have you and to hear you say about the employment opportunities in the Great Northwest, obviously exploding, as they are in the Bay Area, where the show is housed, and obviously in Southern California, it looks as if we've got a bit of a slowdown in terms of the market. And I'm always curious, is obviously employment is driving the market, driving the prices. And obviously, if what you're saying is up in the Northwest, you got W-2 people, much easier to get a loan for those type of people. Are you seeing non-W-2 opportunities for people who own their own businesses, whether it's up in the Seattle area or in Southern California in the Bay Area? What are you seeing as opportunities for these type of people? I know firsthand that you're doing something for a client of ours with a non-traditional income. Let's just put it at that. What are you seeing in the marketplace for those type of buyers or refi?
You know, yeah, just in the past month, I had a couple lenders reach out and start advertising bank statement loans, which we lost. I can specifically remember when we lost that, right? In, gosh, it was April of 2008 is when they took away that bank statement program.
Right.
And that was a sad day for self-employed borrowers because, right. You know, a lot of us gross a certain amount, but we write off as much as we can because we don't want to pay high taxes. So we don't show a whole lot on paper. And over the past 6 years, it's made it very difficult for self-employed buyers and borrowers to get a loan. If you don't show enough net, then you're just, it's very tough to find a loan.
Correct.
They're starting to become more options. It's not necessarily a top shelf conventional, you know, lowest possible rate, but it would be, you know, portfolio lenders that are offering even up to 80% LTV with a 12 or 24 month bank statement program. The rate might be 1% or 1.5% higher, but it's a loan. It's right. Something that wasn't available a few months ago, and then prior to that, it wasn't available for 5 or 6 years.
Right. And, go on. I'm sorry.
And then, yeah, like you mentioned with that other client of ours in Malibu, we've got a great portfolio lender that will go up to 70% loan to value, and they're very, very niche. It's basically asset-based or equity-based. If you've got a lot of equity in your property and you don't show much income, we can probably get you a loan. And if you've got moderate equity, but you have a lot of savings and assets that we can document, even if they're foreign, they'll do a loan for you. They're making great, make sense deals, and that nobody else out there that I know of can do.
Okay, that's excellent. 888-713-2929. You can reach us on our website as well, www.malibufunding.net. We are on Facebook, as you all know. Go to Facebook, /homeloans, and find us, as well as our email address, info@malibufunding.net. And you can always go to the website, see Luke's great picture. And I believe you have a picture on there, don't you, Luke?
Yeah, I believe I do.
That's excellent. And also, there are some past shows where Luke has been on as our expert, not only in loans, doing loans, but certainly in certain areas of the country where he is from. You're up in the Washington area. Is that where you're born and raised up there, Luke?
Yep. I was just up there last week, actually. Unfortunately, there are a few of them, but then I also saw a couple clients of mine up there as well. So I get up as much as I can whenever, you know, time permits.
Right. It's a beautiful place. I have a son in Redmond, as I told you, and also one in Portland this year who has just gone to Lewis and Clark up there. And again, we're licensed in Washington as well as Oregon, California, a number of other states around the country. So if you have questions about what we're talking about, whether they be traditional or non-traditional type of loans, whether they be refinance or purchase, obviously input from clients, telling us what your scenarios are, telling us what you need, how we might be able to help you, supplies us with information about what's happening in the marketplace. We are plugged in with the real estate agents locally, but we're not necessarily plugged in with real estate agents in the entire country. So any feedback we get from borrowers, from people who necessarily wouldn't give out that information to other than professionals who they're trying to get a loan with, really helps us, helps other clients, helps yourself. So make sure you give us a call. Let us know how we can help you. 888-713-2929. Also, what do you want in terms of reaching out to clients? We get calls all the time, applications. I know that we have had a lot of applications over the internet. When you, Luke, talk to clients based on whether it's a personal referral, based on whether it's an internet-based referral, or it's a call that someone makes to you, how do you approach these particular clients versus other clients that you might get from family and friends? Same way?
You know, I try and treat them all the same. And I think that if you talk to any past client, I think they're going to be equally as happy whether they're local and we're able to meet, or if they live in another state. And I'll tell you that with the way technology keeps advancing and making it that much easier for people to send me things electronically, and with the lenders as well, I've got a lot of local clients that I've met before, and I've got a lot that I've never met, and I've done a few loans for them, and they keep coming back because of the ease of it. They don't have to meet with me if they don't want to. I'm more than happy to. I'll fly to come meet somebody if they would like, but I think I treat everyone pretty much the same, and whatever they need from me, I'm more than happy to provide.
We are up against the clock. I really appreciate you coming on, and we'll do it again next month or the month after. And thanks to Luke Mankey for coming on the show today. Thanks, Luke.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton. Along with me today is Arby Abramian, the Mortgage Doctor. Hi, Arby.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm great. Thank you very much. We're excited about this segment of the show in news to use, and let's get right to it. What are some of the things we have for him today?
From Mortgage News Daily again.
Okay.
Basically, this caught my attention. It says housing prices cuts pointing to shift in Southland market. The inventory is going up.
Inventory is going up. Houses are sitting longer. And what does that really mean?
That means prices are going down.
That's right. Exactly right. And we've talked about this in previous shows. We talked about how the marketplace has been affected by both what's happening overseas, what's happening in the psychology of the buyer. As we talked about and will talk about, rates have gone up again. They're not horrible, but they have gone up from the mid threes to the low fours in terms of percentage rate, which also hurts in mortgage applications. And so we had the end of the summer, which last week we talked about a little bit about how mortgage applications went down over the Labor Day weekend. They have rebounded somewhat, but what we've got is not a glut, but certainly more houses on the market, houses sitting longer. And what does that mean? That means obviously the price is going to go down for those houses. Now, that's good news for some buyers. It really is. But at the same time, with mortgage interest rates climbing, this is also going to offset the lowering prices. Yes, you can afford a lower price, but you're going to, obviously pay more in the mortgage.
It's basically a catch 21.
Catch 21 as opposed to a catch 22.
Catch 22.
Exactly right. Okay, what else do you have there, Arby?
This one, again, corresponds to exactly what you were saying. Mortgage application rebound offsets Labor Day by losses.
I see. Okay. So, as we get into the fall, where football season's kicking up, we've got a lot of kids back in school. What you're going to find is people are settled in a little bit more and maybe trying to concentrate on their finances. Maybe you've got a refinance that you have been sitting on and you've, for some reason, haven't done anything. I do know that prices as a whole, now we talked about this and looked about it. We go to Scotsman's Guide, which is an industry newspaper. You can also go online and see it, scotsmansguide.com. Scotsmansguide.com. Just to repeat that, it kind of came out garbled. They talk about a lot of inside industry stuff and talking about what this particular segment of the article was, talking about exactly what this is and how it affects you in the marketplace. So my point is that how does it affect you in the marketplace? What are you going to do?
I mean, just think about it. If you're a seller and you want to sell your house and the house, the price that you want to get, you're not going to get that. So what are you going to do? You're going to refi.
That's exactly right. So some of the things that we want to talk about today in the show, in news to use, is refinance. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you are getting more equity in your house that you've had over the past few years. Your equity has risen to where you're just underwater, you're even, or you're a little above. Refinance now is great. You're probably in a 6% rate. You're maybe even higher, even a 5% rate. If you're thinking about refinancing, and refinance markets are still in an excellent position, there's still a HARP loan, the HARP 2 loan. We've got all kinds of, let's say you want to fix up your house now. Let's say that, okay, my house is worth $10,000 more than what I paid for it, as opposed to being $120,000 under, which it was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. You're excited. Okay, I want to do a refi, and I want to fix that kitchen. I want to put that room addition. I want to add a pool. There are a couple, three programs out there. We talked about them. I think one of our lender partners talked about it 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
And the idea that you can do this, gain equity in your home by adding a room, by putting in a pool, by fixing that roof, that kitchen, those bathrooms. That's the exciting part of what we really are talking about in the, what was the name of that particular product?
There's one, it's called the 201K.
Yes, it's the 201K, of course. There's a couple of different lenders that do that. And then there's one which is a Fannie Mae product as opposed to an FHA product, which is the 201K. The Fannie Mae product, which is a conventional product that we can get you through one of our lender partners, will allow you to be able to add that room, put in that bathroom, that pool, fix the kitchen, and to be able to do that and raise equity in your home through a Fannie Mae product. So that's one of the things we're talking about in the refi market. Very exciting, and now that you've got the kids back in school, you're relaxed, you're sitting at home, you're thinking, okay, maybe we want to sell in the spring. Maybe we want just to fix up that room in the back or add an addition. Maybe grandma's got to come back home because, you know, it's cheaper than, you know, having her live on her own or being put in some kind of a health situation. Now's the time to do it. Because in the spring, you want to sell, or you want to be able to get the equity in your home and make it go to work for you. And obviously, when you're doing these loans, when you get those additions or those remodels completed, you're going to find that your house is worth more. So it's a win-win for everybody to be able to do that kind of thing. And also, you're going to get a lower rate. So these are kind of things that I think are great in the marketplace and something that you can do right now, especially with, like I say, everybody's calmed down. The holidays are coming up, but they're not here yet. You've got the rest of September. You've got October. You've got November before we start getting into Thanksgiving and the holiday season when nobody really does anything.
It's almost New Year.
It's almost New Year. That's exactly right. Okay, what else do you have for us there in news to use there, Arby?
News to use. 10 things that every lender should know about appraisers.
Okay.
What are the things? That
okay, give us the top 10 list. This sounds like David Letterman. Give us the top 10 list. I'm ready.
Here we go. Okay, of course, location.
Location.
Just like agents that say location, location, location.
Exactly right. Real estate story, quick story again. Sure. We were talking about earlier when I was representing a buyer in a particular place, right? So the agent says to me, well, you know, I've got these comps that says that my price is correct. How far away were the comps? 10 miles. I said, 10 miles? That's like 100,000 homes in 10 miles. You can't use, look, when you're using in an appraisal, you cannot go 10 miles away. I told the guy, I said, look, a mile, tops a mile. And if you can't come up with something in a mile, maybe two. But you can't go 10, 15 miles away. You know what his response was? Yeah, but this is Malibu. this is Malibu. He just wanted to smack him in the head with a fish. I said, come on. Appraisal rules are appraisal rules. That's just the way it is. Okay,
what's the one mile radius, 6 months.
Exactly right. I mean, this is the way it is. I mean, I'm not going to change. And he said, well, you know, you can make adjustments. You can't make adjustments more than 15%. Those are Fannie Mae guidelines. Look them up. So anyway, what else you got for us?
Seller's time frame, just exactly what you were saying. Exactly. Spring selling and so forth and so on.
Okay, number three.
Improvements. That's another thing we brought up.
That's exactly right. That's why you want to refi. That's improvements.
Right. That's right.
Exactly.
Condition. Okay. Condition of the house.
What is the condition of the house?
It's the condition of the house. Keep a new paint and take care of the house.
Okay. The rule of thumb in real estate, right? Location, location, location. That's the number one. And you want to buy the lowest price in the best location. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to, like for instance, on this same deal, I keep harping on this guy. Anyway, this same deal. He wants my client to pay the highest price in that complex in the last 3 years. So what's my client going to do in 5 years when he's got a price that may be too high because the market turned? No, that's just not a way to go. What else you got
actually,
for us?
The next one is market.
Oh, okay, very market. Good. See, right off the top of my head. Actually, I read through them all before I kind of cheated. So, I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, if you have any questions that we have missed or you want to talk to us right now, call Arby, call myself. Telephone number is?
888-713-2929.
And the website?
MalibuFunding.net.
Okay, also, we have a lot of customers that come to us through our website. Go to the website. There's a lot of information, good information. You can look, review, and see who the people you want to talk to at the company, the number of states we're in, all different, all the radio shows are online as well on the website. Our email again, info@MalibuFunding.net. You can email us, fill out an app. Anything that we can do to help you decide what to do rather than just jump in and do it, we're here to help. Okay, what else do you have there, Arby?
Last one, neighborhood.
Okay. Neighborhood, location, location, location.
Location, so it goes back to number one.
Exactly. So most people who buy, who need to move into a school system for their kids, do so in the spring. That's why they call it the spring buying season. So when I'm moving to Duluth, or I'm moving to San Jose, or any number of cities that you would move to, the first thing you're going to figure out is, what's the best school system in a place I can afford? This is what you're looking at. So there's a number of websites out there that you can go and look at the ratings for the specific school systems in the area that you want to buy. Because that's, you know, as a parent, you want free education and you want the best school system. Now, it doesn't always work out like that. Of course not. In my particular case, we happen to be in a great school system. But that's what you want to look at your location when you do go out and buy. Arby, it's been great. Once again, man, the
Thank
time
you,
goes
Jeff.
By, doesn't
I
it?
I know, I know.
It's really great, and I appreciate you all listening to me again. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. I am really excited. We have a special guest with us today from Velocity, which is a lender that we use on the mortgage broker side for a lot of different kinds of stuff. Justin Landsman. Hey, Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. The reason I asked Justin to come on is that we have call for a lot of different types of product here at Malibu Funding. And people ask us, you know, what are some of the things that you can do which aren't necessarily Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, owner-occupied properties? Well, we do have a great lender who also specializes in equity-based lending. And I'm going to let Justin explain both what he does, what equity-based lending is, and how this can help those type of borrowers out there in the marketplace.
So, yeah, Jeff. So what we do here at Velocity is we basically have a stated income program. So we're looking at borrowers' equity in a property and their FICO score strictly. We're not looking at tax returns ever, and we don't look at income statements ever. We're strictly looking at non-owner occupied 1-4 unit properties and all different types of apartment buildings, multifamily 5 unit plus. along with different types of commercial properties, ranging from offices, retail, warehouse, self-storage.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Touch base on the Investor 1-4 product that we use. We go up to 70% LTV on that.
Good. That was the question.
What we're looking for in the borrower is their credit has to be at least a 650 mid-score. Their FICO has to be 650, and they can't have a BK, a foreclosure, or short sale in the past 2 years.
Okay.
If they meet those guidelines, the borrower themselves can actually qualify for a loan with us. Now the only thing we're looking for is their equity in the property and the type of property. Make sure that fits our guidelines as well.
Hey, I have a question for you. Give us a real-world example. I mean, you don't have to give me any names, anything like that, but the audience, they love to hear stories about how people just like them went out and got a loan. Have you got something similar to what you're talking about in terms of, hey, I had this guy, he wanted to buy a four-unit building, and he didn't want to live there, but he wanted to use the income to be able to support blah blah blah. Do you have something like that?
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
Great.
I was just up in the Bay Area a couple weeks back.
Awesome.
And I had a gentleman approach me about a borrower that he had who was looking to purchase a brand new, it was just built recently, about a year ago, fourplex. But the guy, he was self-employed. He had a nail salon or something that he ran, right. But it was a cash business, so he couldn't show his tax returns. He didn't make enough on paper. However, he had plenty of money in the bank to put a substantial down payment on this property.
Okay.
So that's a perfect borrower for us. Any self-employed person who doesn't want to use tax returns, who actually does have good credit or credit as low as 650, we'll take that. I wouldn't say it's necessarily good, but we'll go ahead and lend to a borrower like that if the property works. Now, we looked at the property itself and the property debt serviced. And what
right.
that means is it bring in enough rent to pay for the mortgage payment. That's what Velocity is looking for in our loans, is making sure that the property being rented out can actually pay us or the lender for the actual mortgage payment.
Of course. And let me ask you another question about the 650 FICO score and what you guys do with the loans once you get them. Do you hold the loans? Do you sell them off to somebody? I'm just trying to figure for borrowers out there. And the reason I'm asking about what you do with the loans is because a lot of people worry about the servicing. Who's going to service? Do we get in trouble with a particular servicer? To relieve some of the anxiety of that. What do you do with your loans? Do you portfolio them, which is obviously for the audience out there, it's holding the loans, or do you sell them off?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, Velocity is currently servicing around $300 million in CRE loans.
Okay.
What we do, we just transferred over, I would say, about 6 months to a year ago to a servicer called Ocwen. They've been around I would say around 20 years. Don't quote me on that, but a very long time. We use them. We haven't had any issues with them, but over a certain period of time, once we accumulate a certain amount in loans, we will go ahead and securitize that. There's no telling when that can be,
right?
But when our secondary department actually feels that we've reached a limit or a point in time where it's time to actually release some of this portfolio that we do have in servicing, we'll go ahead and do that so that we can re-up on our warehouse lines and keep the cash flowing.
Okay. Another thing, interest rates. Generally, interest rates have been pretty low in the 1-4 residential family units, owner-occupied. In the non-owner-occupied equity space, which means that you got a lot of money into the property that you're buying or you want to refi and that you don't live there, are rates affected negatively? I mean, are you going to pay more for your money and how much more if that's so?
To this day, in the past year, working here at Velocity with this stated program, I have not found a lender that has a lower rate for a stated income borrower.
Okay.
Someone who can't show income or tax returns, there is no better option than using this product. Our rates are in the sevens. We don't charge any points. We have our upfront fees like everyone else has, but you're not going to beat something like that. Your only other option that I see out there, other than Velocity is going to a hard money lender, which is going to give you something, you know, in the double digit numbers, and
That's
it's
right.
going to be interest only usually.
I agree with that completely. And full disclosure, Malibu Funding has worked with Velocity and Justin for some time. We do a good business with them. We find them as a company very reputable and obviously solving a lot of problems and issues for people. And conversely, when you get into a product like this and you are obviously paying off on the loan every month, after a certain amount of time, you're obviously going to build up equity. And there's quite a possibility that refining out of this into something with a better interest rate is down the line. But these are for purchases. This is for the person who, like you described out there in the Bay Area, who wants to get into a property, who doesn't have the necessary documentation to be able to prove to your standard lender to be able to borrow on a non-occupied space. And as you say, interest rates in the sevens are five to six points better than what you get in the hard money area, as you well know.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's other benefits to it. You know, there's a lot of people that are coming out of a bankruptcy or foreclosure, and they're maybe only 2 years out. That's perfect for Velocity. You know,
right.
we don't care. As long as it's been over 2 years, we'll go ahead and do a loan for that individual. Many of the banks out there, they won't do a loan for someone for, you know, between 4 and 7 years.
That's
we'll
right.
go ahead and do that, give them the financing that they need until that time has lapsed where they can actually come back to you, go to the bank, and get a better rate.
Okay. Malibu Funding, 888-713-2929. We're talking with Justin over at Velocity. And Justin, it's obviously a marketplace right now where we're looking at interest rates on the residential side in flux. We think the rates are going to remain the same. But in your particular marketplace, the rates are dependent upon your investors. I assume that most of your money is private money as opposed to coming from the Fed or from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Is that right?
Correct. You'll hear the term lock desk a lot in our industry, and that term refers to, you know, people getting a locked rate for a specific amount of time, and they'll call in to the lock desk to see, you know, if that rate still is available for them since they signed their paperwork to actually get the deal funded.
Right.
People don't do that here at Velocity. Our rates have changed in over a year, and
right.
the reason why is our private investors, they see what the market is out there and that people are coming to this product more and more every single day. We went from funding 7 loans in July of 2013 to funding 135 loans in July of 2014. So they want to keep the rates where they are right now so that we can continue to, you know, take the borrowers that were naturally going to the banks and now can't qualify away from the people that were going hard money. It benefits the borrower and it benefits us as a company to keep the rates where they're at.
Justin, I really appreciate you on. I want to have you back because this information is absolutely necessary for those people who need the product. We're up against the clock here. Thank you very much for coming on. This is Justin Landsman from Velocity. I'm Jeff Barton with Malibu Funding. Hey, Justin, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton. Along with me is Arby Abramian for the wrap-up of the show. Great show today, right?
It was great.
Okay, really enjoyed it. We enjoyed the guests we had on. Informative, timely. Products are good. Market is interesting. And I guess confirmation that some markets, both in California, certainly Nevada, and maybe even Arizona, are the inventories growing and properties are sitting longer.
Yep.
Don't you
that's
think
right.
that's the way it
that's
is?
That's right.
Okay. And also we went through a lot of what rates are going to happen and how that's decided and who decides that and why the language in the statements sent out by the Fed affect markets so quickly, almost so quickly that you can't even blink. I mean, basically the banks are so ready to raise rates in order to either pad you know, the actual costs of rates raising? Obviously, when rates go up, what happens to mortgage applications?
They go down.
They go down, of course.
Yeah.
And one of the examples about customers who were a year ago prepared to buy at 3.5% interest rate, when the interest rates jumped up to 4.61, which is what they were last year, right?
That's what
it
was.
Okay, it was
what
over a point jump. So these people are struggling. They've got their down payment, which is probably around, what, 4 or 5%?
5%,
right? Or an FHA at 3.5%. But so they're ready to buy, and all of a sudden the rates go up. They can't buy anymore. So applications as a result of rates going up are obviously going to go down. Mm-hmm. And so how is a bank supposed to stay in business, or how is anybody supposed to keep people employed if, in fact, customers don't show up the way they used to show up?
Yeah.
So, it's very interesting. It's very interesting how the banks play it. Obviously, they want to make as much money as possible in order to maintain their staffing levels. And we talked about this, too, last week on the show about Wells Fargo and how they were artificially lowering what they were making on particular loans, either the discounted rate or discounted fees, in order to keep their staffing levels.
And actually, that's Wells Fargo and Citibank, they're following suit too.
Okay, exactly right. Well, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Bank of America, they're all doing it. Now, these are the biggest banks in the world. So they want to keep staffing levels where they are. The question for me is, and maybe for you too, if you know applications are going to be down, and you know that the amount of money you're going to be making in generating business through the mortgage business of your banking is down, why would you want to keep staffing levels high? Why?
Staffing levels high?
Why?
Why? Here's why. Like, it's business 101. You want to show expenses at the end of the year so you pay less taxes.
Oh, Arby. Oh, you see, here am I. I'm just a small business owner, right? Malibu Funding. We do loans in 12 states. You know, we have, you know, 40, 50 people that work for us. We're a small company, and we are basically affected by staffing is the number one expense. So if business is down, staffing gets cut. I mean, that's just what a guy at a store who's selling widgets on the corner. Mm-hmm. If his business is down, he looks at the stockroom person and says, hey, you know what? We're on flex right now, you know? But what you're saying is correct. These are large, publicly traded companies that have huge bottom lines every year, but at the same time, they're making billions of dollars. And where do they make most of their money? Probably not in the mortgage industry. No. But in order to keep write-offs high and pay less taxes, they need to show that their business expenses are up.
Yeah.
Man, I am just not as smart as you are.
That's no, you are.
That's why he's the mortgage doctor, everybody. And so I really appreciate. No, that's excellent insight right there. And so when you're thinking about, you know, why they're doing, they're not being benevolent. What they're trying to do is keep more of their money in their pocket.
That's right.
Okay, very good. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for listening and tuning in this week. Arby Abramian, the mortgage doctor. Thanks, Arby.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.